chanson. Écoutez, répétez.
Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style. And I see a cubist painting, I've just got a smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cézanne. Cézanne, 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 the father of cubism. Well, some people say that it was Picasso. Other people claim it was the Chirico. Some people think it was Modigliani. But they're all crazy. It was Paul Cézanne, 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 the father of cubism.
When Paul Cézanne sat down to paint a flower on a face, he had to solve one problem, three-dimensional space. He said, from his content, he smoked his gitane. He was right. Now he's Paul Cézanne.
Cézanne. Good morning. This is Julie Bernard, and this is Art Focus. And I guess we're going to talk to Deborah Shapiro. Deborah Shapiro is on the line, and she's going to tell us about the ceramic showcase. So, Emily, do you want to cue her in? The ceramic showcase.
Hi.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Deborah, good morning.
Good morning, Julie.
I'm glad to see you this morning. would you like to tell us about the ceramic showcase right now?
I would love to.
Super.
I have so much enthusiasm for this.
I do, too. We all do. We have it every year, and every year it's just a glorious event.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Well, let me tell you that this is our 24th annual. It's the Oregon Potters Association Ceramic Showcase, and it's May 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Convention Center. Free admission, as always, with over 200 Oregon and Southwest Washington artists showing their work. We're the largest all-clay show in the country, and we are all volunteer-run. So we're very proud of that. This year, we have some amazing special events happening that I'd love to tell you about. The first one is a large benefit that we're doing for Habitat for Humanity. We invited them to have a special booth at the show, and OPA members are donating work to be sold as a benefit for Habitat for Humanity, and all of this will go straight to help fund the Portland Habitat for Humanity, the home that they built in Lafayette, Louisiana, for a very deserving family.
Is that Mr. Carter's?
No.
President Carter's Habitat for Humanity?
Yes, it certainly is. It certainly is. And this is the house that was started, put together at the convention center starting on Martin Luther King Day this year in January. You might have heard about that.
Yes.
And so we're helping to finish up that house with this benefit. And we're also having a huge... It's called the Installation Project, and this is the third year we've done it. Each year it's different. This year it's called Fish in a Crowd, and 66 different artists made 130 large ceramic salmon, and it's going to be a school of swimming salmon, and all of this, the salmon are going to be sold for $50 each as a benefit for OPA's Clay and Education Program. And that's a program where we pay our own members to go out into the community and teach clay classes in schools and clubs and community centers where there's no clay access. So we're very excited about that.
Well, you're having a big event there where children make things and even grown-ups make things.
Oh, we sure are.
The ceramic... what do you call it? There's a name for that event.
We're having our celebrity throw-off.
Yeah.
That's what we're having. And we're having two different events. On Friday night, we're having three competitions. One that is the wine versus beer people. Someone from the Willamette Valley Vineyards and someone from the Lucky Lab Brewery are going to be competing up there on the potter's wheel. Now, these people are not potters, so they're going to have some fun with that.
Uh-huh.
And then at 6 o'clock, Mayor Tom Potter is going to be competing against the Mexican Consul General, Fernando Sanchez Ugarte. Mm-hmm. We were going to have Earl Blumenauer there throwing, but he can't right now because he broke his foot. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know that. He kicked something?
Well, we're hoping he'll come, but he won't be up there on the stage working a potter's wheel.
Okay, good.
And then the third group is the Stumptown Coffee Roasters versus Stash Tea.
Oh, hooray, my favorite.
So we're going to have the coffee people versus the tea people. And then on Saturday night, we have our own members going crazy. We have a big pot throwing contest and a speed throwing contest, and then the kids
One minute, dearie.
Oh, we're running out of time.
Yeah, Deborah.
Well, I would love to have people come. It's a free show, May 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Convention Center.
It's very exciting, and I know there are a lot more things happening. And I'm sorry I have to cut you off.
But that's okay. I thank you for having me.
But it's been years and years, 24 years,
yep,
that we have been doing something about the ceramic showcase. And thank you so much for calling this morning.
Oh, that's
Deborah
great.
Deborah Shapiro.
Thanks for having me.
Farewell for now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. And I have Peggy Prusak Collins here this morning. Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you
I'm
for
so
having
glad
me.
I'm so glad you're here. And she does very exciting work. She is a woman who can paint as well as draw, and whose paintings are loaded with pizzazz and energy. And in fact, just to think of them makes me feel quite energetic. But her energy caught my eye when I found her announcement for the Mount Tabor Art Walk juried show. The Mount Tabor Art Walk is May 20th and 21st.
That's correct.
And I was looking through some of the materials that I get from you out there, and I spotted this painting, this reproduction, and I thought, wow, this has got something I really like. It's bumptious, you know? And this person has courage. So I looked her up, and she was looking me up at the same time and demanding that I put her name somewhere and tell people what was going on with her. And so I called her and said, you can't demand. You have to produce, and then I demand. And so I just said another more gentle approach would be more acceptable.
That's right. Well, it's all a learning curve.
It's on the learning curve.
You have to take it in stride.
Anyway, I found this gem of a person, and I went to her house and looked at her paintings and her drawings, and so we're going to learn more about her today.
Okay.
And we're going to give her a chance because she's a mom.
I am.
Tell us the story of your life.
Oh, the story of my life. Well, I'd have to say that I've been conscious of the fact that I wanted to be a painter, have that lifestyle since I was probably around 4 years old. But it's been a difficult road because it's, I wasn't encouraged in the way that one would hope to be. I was always told, well, what are you really going to do for a living? And
what are you really going to do for a living?
Right.
Sure.
There's always that conflict. And then getting an education, should I educate myself in art or should I be a lot more practical? And so I proceeded to get an education in art, and I did some master's work in public administration for a while, and was managing a department in Beaverton, the reprographics department, for a few years. And it just, this need to paint has always been there and kept creeping up, and I always felt like I was misplaced. And so I have to say that I hope things are different now in school with art programs, but we, when I was going through school, we were never told how to make a living at art. And there was always the commercial art as opposed to the fine art dilemma. And there was always a dichotomy. And I must say I've had to learn how to do it from the seat of my pants and from an isolated situation. I was a single parent for almost 12 years and working and trying to make a go of it and trying to do my art at the same time and never time to market. Yes. And then I had a second family, and I chose to stay home with them. And so you don't get out in the world and meet the people and make the connections and the networking you need to do when you're so divided, so multitasking all the time. And I think my paintings reflect that. I'm definitely an abstract expressionist. I would have to say I come from that school.
Yes.
I can do realism, but it's never enough. I have to push beyond it, and I love color and line. Those are my largest interests. Line as a function of meaning, actually, is how I describe myself.
Yes. Well, your paintings represent the battle, and they represent the joy. And this is very clear to me. When I look at this, I identify. And I don't know a mom who wouldn't, because it's all there, and your color sense is very good. Now, you went, you got your first experiences with serious artwork at the University of California?
University of Southern California.
Of Southern California?
I went there for a year, yeah.
And so were you born in California?
No, I was actually born and raised in Southeast Portland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did get my education in California primarily, but I came back home in around 1979, and I've been here ever since.
All right.
Well, except for 4 years. I was in Massachusetts.
You were in Massachusetts
mm-hmm.
for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and you were going to school there?
No, I was actually living there in Concord with my husband. He was had to take a job there.
I see.
He was transferred over there for a few years.
Is this a husband number one?
Two.
Oh, this is two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bless his heart.
And then you came back to Portland. You went to the University of Oregon.
For a year and a half. Uh-huh. And was in that fine art department.
And, how was that?
Well, I thought it was very good. And I must say my experience at University of Southern California was phenomenal. And the classes, the art classes at University of Oregon were very, very good. And the way my life took its course, I ended up, it was the early 70s, and I have to say I wanted to go simplify my life. I went back. Sort of a proponent of the Back to the Earth movement.
Okay.
And I went to live in a small town in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Yeah. And worked there and had a young child at the time. And then after a couple years, this need for painting and drawing was rearing its head again, and decided to go back to school.
And so you went back to California State?
Yeah, in Chico. That was the closest school
to me. In 78, that was.
Actually, I graduated in 78.
Okay,
so
did you get a master's degree or a bachelor of arts?
A bachelor's.
Okay.
And then I did an extra year of graduate painting. So
okay.
I am essentially a BFA.
So you've been painting for a long time and studying when you could and working and raising kids and
remodeling houses and traveling. And
uh-huh. And now you have this beautiful old home.
Yes.
Up on the side of Mount Tabor.
Yes.
And it sits up there and has a gorgeous view of the North Portland.
West Portland and North. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's full of beautiful things and your paintings, and it's spotless. How do you do that?
I work a lot.
You're working all the time,
I am.
Aren't you?
I am.
And let's ID the program here. I'm talking to Peggy Prusak Collins, and this is KBOO 90.7 FM, and this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus, and we're talking to Peggy this morning about her appearances in shows too. We're going to talk about that. Well, we're talking about Peggy too, Peggy. And in 1980, then you came to Oregon, and you went for a degree. You got another degree.
I was accepted into the MFA program at Portland State, and at the last minute, I switched over to the MPA program. because I needed a job.
Yeah.
I needed a solid career. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll juggle this. And this was in the age of, you know, we were feminists and we were trying to do it all.
Yes.
And once again, I just, by the time my second family started coming around, my second series of children, I decided I want to stay home with my children. It's the most meaningful thing I could do, and hopefully we'll have time to paint. But with that came a lot of sacrifices because you're not making the income. And
okay,
you know,
now,
it's juggling. It's constantly juggling.
The other day when we were talking, you had been taking your paintings around to various places to try to get somebody to be encouraging enough to put your paintings on the wall. You wanted an exhibition.
Yes.
A legitimate exhibition in a legitimate gallery.
That would be wonderful.
What was the... wouldn't that... That would be wonderful. Okay. What were some of what was the treatment of you in some of the galleries where you went?
Well, not so much the galleries.
Were said to you?
Yeah, I've been trying to not just go the traditional route, but trying to be creative in marketing. I've decided about 3 or 4 years ago to seriously learn how to market, which is the bane of all artists, I think.
Yes, it is.
And so. I have been sending to galleries and competitions, and I have gotten some good responses back from them. But I think being an unknown quantity, you know, they want to see. I'm interpreting rejections as they want to, you know, see year after year some consistency. They want to,
yeah.
And so I've been trying to primarily go for the first 2 years name recognition. And just exposure of my work so that possibly galleries and art abstract art lovers will find me.
Yes.
So just artists in search of an audience, that's sort of been my theme. I have tried to market in other places than non-traditional, such as interior design stores up in the Pearl District, and I've been in spas and day spas and... I have been in a couple gallery shows. Recently, I had a nude put in Unclad 2006, which was a really wonderful and successful show up in the Pearl.
Yeah.
But what I have found is I was, at the time that I went into the interior design store, I was marketing a series called my River Sutra series.
River Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they were based on the theme of water and also on the theme of a sutra is a string of like an aphorism or an adage.
Yes.
And in the Buddhist religion, it's their canonical liturgy, actually, are sutras.
Yes.
So I'm using water as a metaphor in these paintings. And... they're primarily blues in the blue spectrum, and I was told that blue paintings don't sell.
Blue paintings
don't
sell. Okay.
Well, that just about shot me down in the water. So to speak.
And go home? Okay.
More or less. Well,
blue
then I
paintings don't sell.
Yeah.
They don't go with a couch or something.
I guess. Yeah, and or they're in the cool spectrum. I just find it. I realized that I need to really target my market. My paintings aren't for everyone. They're huge. I mean, they're 4 feet and 5 feet and square.
Yes.
They aren't tremendously huge, but it's not something you can just buy and put over your couch necessarily. You have to have a room for these paintings.
Well, and the room that they're in your beautiful high-ceilinged home, they look perfect there. They're just right there.
Thank you.
And I would think that there, in time, people need to get used to them because they're powerful.
They are.
And
I must say,
And I think that
they have a life of their own.
if we could, I think we would get you an exhibition somewhere, like the Mark Woolley's gallery. Have you ever had had an exhibition at any of the galleries down in the Pearl District? Or
well, just the Unclad
Southeast?
Show. I haven't. I've been in the Southeast Area Art Walk, which was a wonderful experience and a wonderful art walk, a wonderful opportunity for the entire city to see really great art. I think these art walks have proven to be very good. But it was my first time of getting feedback from a general public. And I was frankly shocked that people could relate to my work because it's not realism. It's abstract.
You know what you were telling me the other day, excuse me for interrupting you, but somebody said, some gallery person said to you, abstract art is not popular anymore. This is ridiculous because look at Lucinda Parker, for instance.
I know.
She's having this big show at the Laura Russo Gallery. And Laura Russo shows abstractions all the time. And
right.
It's got to be one of the best galleries in town. And been here for a long time. And is a, you know, the Fountain Gallery with...
Right.
Belonged to Schnitzer.
Right.
And then she sold the gallery out to... Laura Russo, and Laura Russo's been here as long as any of the galleries in town.
I know that the big galleries do show and abstract art. It's been a problem knowing how to reach them. I mean, I've sent them all a portfolio a couple years ago, and it's time to do it again.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that as I build my resume, I'll be... able to enter that realm of dialogue with the people who...
You're such a hard worker, Peggy. Yeah, now, I want you to tell about your nudes that you're doing. And you went back to school. Was it night school?
No, actually, I just took a workshop at Hip Bone Studio. I did a workshop in... I'm sort of old-fashioned. I think that the basis of art is drawing. And I love drawing, and I went back to do a class with Jeff Burke on anatomy for the artist, and it was fantastic. I would recommend it to any artist. And it's in these workshops you have license to express yourself however you wish. But out of that came a series of torso paintings that are very gestural. And quasi-abstract, and I did get one of those put in a national show, so that was...
What was the national show?
It was the Unclad 2006. It appeared in Stanwood, Washington.
Probably.
And it also appeared in Portland, and for 3 days earlier this month, and next year, I guess, they're going to also take it to San Francisco, so...
That was very genteel. The Unclad.
Yes.
I love that. Okay, well, you went to these drawing classes, and then you had shows with some of your wonderful nudes. And what are you doing right now, getting ready for this art walk?
I am. I'm actually working on a series called, it's what I'm loosely terming my memoir series. I'm calling them each painting a short story because I have a real love for words and for storytelling. I'm not a storyteller, but I'm not an illustrator, but through the course of, I guess I'm at an age where I'm retrospective and I'm looking back on my life, and I think there's just a lot of material that I want to dredge up and put into imagery. And so I'm working on this series, but the next show I have, hopefully I'll get them done, for the Mount Tabor Art Walk, which is coming up May 20th and 21st. And it's the first Mount Tabor Art Walk, and it's really going to be fantastic. There are 33 artists in 22 locations up in Mount Tabor. For those 2 days, you can get a map and walk from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. And there are a lot of professional artists in that area. The quality of art is really phenomenal. So I really encourage people to try to come and see Portland Art in Southeast Portland.
Sure. And this is the first art walk that they've had over in that neighborhood.
Yes. And yes, the people putting it, organizing it have worked really, really hard, and I want to give them a little plug if I could.
Let's give them a plug or two.
Charlene Blaze and Don Jacobson. Charlene is a watercolor artist, and Don does nature photography. And Mandy Main, who is quite a successful artist and fixture in Portland, does beautiful landscapes and oils. And Beverly Bauer has, from Sorella Creations, does wonderful jewelry. So there's just beautiful art. There's also going to be a watercolorist showing at my home with me, Katie Bendig, who...
Katie Bendig.
Yes.
Okay.
And she does realism.
And she's showing work in your home?
Yes, at the same...
Okay, along with you.
Yes.
All right. Which is a beautiful home, by the way, Peggy. I did say that before. But it's a craftsman style.
Well, actually, it's an Italianate Victorian.
Oh, is it?
Built in 1888. Yeah, it's very square.
Wrong again. Okay.
And it is on the historical register. So it is kind of, it's an interesting home, and it's giving both my husband and I enough space to, as our kids leave home, to really spread out and do our art.
Fill it up with Peggy Prusak Collins.
Yes.
Peggy's been here this morning talking about her artwork over the years, and she's a wonderful person as well as being a very good artist to my mind and an ongoing artist. Thank you for coming this morning, Peggy.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus. Thank you, Emily.
Sin razón, hoy me levanto y no quiero. Hoy día luna, día pena. Hoy día luna, día pena. Hoy me levanto sin razón. Hoy me levanto y no llego a ninguna destinación. Arriba la luna, hoy. Arriba la luna.
And concluding the Thursday morning radio zine for Thursday, April 27th, with Manu Chao, Clandestino.